Hello, my faithful companions, and welcome back to another glorious episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. I am your gracious host, as always, Zane, and Happy New Year! Yay! Now, even though 2020 is over, we still gotta admit, we have to like look at back at some stuff that we may get interested in and look at some the positive things that we did do. And today's episode is going to be a little bit special because I recently tweeted I would change today's episode a bit, because recently I was planning on talking about like the struggles of a card game. However, recently something came up in Christmas. It gave me inspiration and I decided to talk about it something else. So here's a question. Did anyone else besides just me get Sorry, I'm having a hot chocolate after this. Got interested in a tabletop miniature game called Warhammer 40K. Because that's today's episode. I'm going to be talking about the pros and the cons of two separate games right before, just a quick little announcement. So recently, over the Christmas break too, I got something extremely special from a family member for Christmas. It is a circle light with a camera installation for my phone. So I'm going to figure out how to record both video and audio footage of the Ultra Nerd Podcast and try to post it on both YouTube and on any broadcasting network. So fingers crossed and wish me luck. But not only that, let's talk about two games I really want to talk about. So Warhammer 40K was a game that I felt interested in over the quarantine break. And like, it is so diverse in its storytelling and its factions and its models. It's crazy. And recently, two of my other siblings were generous enough to give me a box known as the Hordes 2-Player Battle Box set from another company called Privateer Press. Whereas games like Age of Sigmar, Blood Bowl, and Warhammer 40K is made by Games Workshop. Just a quick thing, though. Sadly, this video or podcast is not sponsored by either of them. It's not sponsored by Games Workshop, and it's not sponsored by Privateer Press. If it was, I would honestly try to take it in a heartbeat. And this podcast is sadly not even sponsored by TCG Player. Besides, I talked about card games for like three times already. Fourth, if you count the other episode. But I will get to that one anyway. But for now, I'm going to be talking about the pros and the cons of what I've seen, what I've experienced so far, and what I have did over the past few months with miniatures and so far with the games, and what I've already seen, and so on and so forth. Either through videos, through tutorials, and so on and so forth, as I said it again. But let's talk about some other stuff really quick about miniatures. What you might need, though. You might need some clippers to get them off the sprues or get, like, excess off them. You're also probably going to need files to smooth them out and get mold line off. You're probably going to need primer so the paint can stay on. You're probably going to need paint. You're going to need some brushes. You probably need a palette, like me, or in other cases, a wet palette. You're also probably going to need dice because dice. You're going to need a ruler. You're going to need some primer. I think I said that already, but you're going to need some primer. You're going to need the character sheets. Not the character sheets. That's Dungeons and Dragons. What the hell am I talking about? You're going to need the rule book. You're going to need the character book. You're going to need the character rule book. You're going to need this. You're going to need that. Now, notice that I haven't even talked about the damn miniatures yet. That's how... Sorry, burp was coming up. Okay, I'm fine. Because that's how crazy this game is. Now, let's talk about one of the biggest cons for both of them so far. The biggest con is arguably they're really, really expensive. Like, it's absolutely crazy how much this game's cost overall. Like, for the two-player set, or like for a beginner set for Warhammer 40K, like, I was interested in Tyranids before my heart fell onto Death Guard. Tyranids somehow cost like over freaking $80 for their start collecting set. Now that's outrageous, because knowing this, it makes Konami seem like absolute generous with its player base. However, on the other hand, Hordes is no better, because it's kind of crazy of how much they're selling their things, and it's somewhat expensive, but not that really. It's a little bit expensive, but it really isn't sometimes. It sometimes is, and it sometimes isn't. Okay, so one sec. I have this in my hand, and I have this guy in my hand. So if you guys can't tell, I'm holding two different things from what they're reasonably priced at. So in my left hand, I am holding presumably a giant for Dungeons and Dragons. He has these different types of boils all over him. He has some on his back, some on his head. He's holding a club. He's all ripped from top to bottom. $15 at my local nerd store, right? And the other guy I'm holding in my hand is a Death Guard army from the, I believe it's Gundam Fighters, I think. But it's a Gunpla character. He has all the posability. Popped off his arm. He has all the posability. He could be able to hold his gun either in his firing hand, or you could swap one of his hands out to make him hold it like a club. He is eye can move, and you could basically make him pose, do anything, right? Roughly $20 to $30, but you're getting a bang for your buck with this guy. And for the other guy I mentioned, the giant, he's decent because he's honestly a big canvas to paint, and he's something just to have around in your house or for D&D because this thing looks badass as hell. This guy roughly costs, like I said, somewhere between $15 to $20 at the most. And to me, it's kind of insane that some prices for miniatures, even for one, because they would cost like somewhere over like $80 to like $100. There's this one character I need for my Death Guard kill team I'm planning on using. I don't know if he is legal or not, called Typhus. Now, the original idea is that I would have like an all-around fielded kill team with Death Guard. Typhus is needed because he has the ability, because he's a psyker. So basically, he could shoot Mind Heresy at you. $40. That for one miniature. And it's not, he's probably not even bigger enough to compare like the Death Guard army guy I have in my hand or like the giant guy. So the first half, I'm going to be talking about the pros and the cons for Warhammer 40K. And I'm going to be doing the same thing for Hordes / War Machine, because War Machine is somewhat extremely similar to Hordes. So you're going to be hearing me saying War Machine or Hordes throughout the podcast for the second half. So let's start with Warhammer. So Warhammer was basically developed around somewhere around in, I want to say the 70s or the 80s. Someone correct me on that one. But basically, Games Workshop was at first making miniatures for Dungeons and Dragons. However, the main issue was that people would always have like these billions upon billions of different miniatures just lying in their room or lying on their shelves just collecting dust. And they didn't know what else to do with them besides Dungeons and Dragons. Until Games Workshop broke the mold on the entirety of miniature collecting worked. So instead, they decided to pit one army against another. So that's how Warhammer 40K was born. But not only that, it brought an entire vast thing. So let's start off with the first pro. Different armies to choose from. Like, comparing Warhammer 40K's armies, including Age of Sigmar's, with the armies chosen for War Machine and Hordes, you might as well try to compare a watermelon to a pea. Because, like, there's a crap ton of different characters and factions to choose from like, the ones for the Imperium of Man, to Chaos, to the Xenos races. It is absolutely insane. Not only that, like, I remember seeing on a YouTube channel called Tabletop Plays, or Tabletop Games, I think it's called. Love those guys. And they had someone on who made an entire army of like the Astartes Militarium out of goblins, and that is absolute insane. And you have like space marines, right? But you don't have just like space marines. You have like the ultramarines. You have like the Black Templars. You have the Imperial Fists. You have the Soul Drinkers. I want to try to paint the Soul Drinkers now. And not only that, you also have like armies like, say, the Space Wolves, the Salamanders, and so on and so forth. Like, you could paint any of the original or discovered chapters from Warhammer's 40K Space Marines, and like, or you can make your own homebrew Space Marine, because I've seen a lot of people do that before, and it's absolutely crazy what they could be able to pull off. And not only that, you have like a ton of different choices to choose from if you don't like the human race, because let me be honest, they're humans. Even though they're super humans, they could still be humans. And you're like, ah, no, I don't want to play with humans. I want to play with orcs, because orcs are fun. Orcs are cool. And so on and so forth. Or maybe you want to play like the Tau. Maybe you want to play like, you want to get in there and you want to get it out with like the Eldar species, or so on and so forth. But that's one of its also biggest cons, I feel, is it does have like a vast army, and it can be very scary to try to pick your first army. I mean, it happened to me too, because I'm like one of those guys that just wanted to try everything. Like, I wanted to try the Thousand Sons at first. I wanted to try the Tyranids at first. I wanted to try the Gene Stealer Cult first. I wanted to try the Adeptus Mechanicus first. And then I decided I wanted to try Death Guard. I already finished painting 6 Poxwalkers of mine that I recently got also for Christmas. And that's the best part. And that's the best part about it. But yet I hear a lot of people say that, sorry, I'm really getting burpy here with the damn milkshake. But I hear a lot of people say to choose an army what you think is badass. That is cool, though, but for me, in my book, it's best to choose an army with its pros and its cons. Like, I chose Death Guard, and its pros are it's very tanky, they rely on big numbers, and they could take a hit, but the cons are they are slow, and they don't have that best range. And that's like the thing, because you're wondering which is the best army to choose from, and you are looking up video after video that always say this or that, and you're afraid of what you may choose. But con is the ridiculousness of the books. So I recently watched a YouTuber's video a while ago called Magikarp's Fly, where him and his friends and other people that he knew or met recently would be going over this, what is Warhammer 40K, and have their own tournaments. And what's crazy to figure out is what he talked about was how ridiculous the things like the codexes were in Warhammer 40K. And for those of you who don't know, the codex is basically your faction's rulebook. And you can basically look through the rule book and find out that you can put on certain things for certain characters. Like, for example, if I didn't want Typhus to have a damn scythe, I could also give him a freaking bolter gun. If I didn't want him to have a bolter gun, I could basically make him have a bazooka if I wanted to, if it was said in the rules. And it has like $40 roughly. So if it's not expensive enough just buying a damn mini that's not even as big as a water bottle, it's already expensive just to buy one book. And not only that, if you don't have the rule book for your faction, you're also going to need another rule book that's probably also going to be costing like over roughly $40. And it was the most ridiculous thing that I heard him say was that he needed another rule book for his faction again, basically like the eroded and updated rules. And roughly he counted over 9 to 10 pages at least in that book, and that was all he needed. And it's so ridiculous. If they could have made it online, it could have changed so many things, because honestly, if you're like me, you'll be looking at the price issue. Like, I'm a budget player when it comes to card games, always, including Warhammer or even tabletop games anymore. I'm a budget man. But if I find out that like if I have to spend over $150 just for the rule books, I'd be like, oh, fuck that shit. However, there are some things to do when it comes to Warhammer 40K. The next thing is its pro. One of its pros is that it's somewhat a little bit simple to learn. And it's some, depending on who you're looking for or what you're trying to do. It's simple to learn and it's easy just to bring along because you don't need all this fancy smancy shit. All you need is your faction, your faction's rule book. And if your friend has a rule book, you could just like borrow the rule book from him. And if you're just doing it for shits and giggles, you don't even need the updated rules from your faction. You need some terrain. And you could, all you need is a ruler and some dice. Because dice. And it could just work off so simply off of there. And it's honestly, there are a lot of people who talk about how to play Warhammer. Like I remember I watched Midwinter Minis version of it. I watched Play on Tabletops version of it. And there are so many people willing to teach others how to play the game. And it does seem scary at first, but once you start practicing and start getting into it, you start to learn and have a feel for it. However, it also gives us a choice to start small, which is its next pro, Kill Team. Kill Team is something I previously mentioned a couple of times or mentioned once in the podcast. Now, basically what Kill Team is the fact that you could basically bring a small number of troops for a faction that you choose and basically pit them against the other person in a small given area. So the best part about it is you could basically buy one box of a certain faction or like buy a few characters here, buy a few characters there. That's not even going to like break the bank and bada bing, bada boom, you're done. Although you do need the rule book for the Kill Team game. However, that's also going to cost you $40. $40. Dang it, Games Workshop. But anyway, it is more budget friendly, and I would argue it's best way to learn it because it does have the same rules, kind of, as the original game. And I remember they did the same thing for Age of Sigmar, known as Warcry, where basically, now, this is my biggest gripe just as quick. I'm going to get off topic really quick. This is my biggest gripe. For some reason, I've been looking on Amazon for, like, the faction characters to play on Warcry, right? So I was thinking Tzeentch Demons. However, I found that the two-player battle box for that is somehow over $200, right? Well, get this. Guess how much the faction box cost, like each of the factions boxes cost $40. $40 freaking. So all I could do is literally buy two factions for at least $80 and not like go over fucking $200 just for like the characters, their terrain, and so on and so forth. Like that is absolutely ridiculous. But I'm not saying to spend so much money just for a team. What you could be able to do is you could just like, what I did was I bought like the $35 set for Death Guards and that worked for me. I just needed two more Death Guards and two more Poxwalkers and I'm done. And really there are other sites to, which though is with its next con. Like to be honest, this is both a con for Hordes too, is like, you may not have that much experience trying to put things together with glue. Because, to be honest, I recently done gluing with Hordes. And as a guy who is more of a push-fit guy, it's honestly quite annoying. Because I don't know what I'm doing wrong when I'm, like, thinking to myself, oh, if I just glue this piece, and let them, they're going to stick right there and there. I don't need to put my finger on it. But, no, it just, like, falls right off. I don't know if it's like with the glue I'm using. I don't know if it's that type of plastic or this or that or anything. But I have figured a way of using tape to make the models hold so the glue could dry. But yeah, it's still kind of annoying. And even though there are push fits, If you're getting into the game and find out that you need to glue them and having a hard time with it, it might be also a deal breaker for it. Although the next pro is it can be fun painting the miniatures. This is another thing for like both sides, because like I said, I recently painted my Poxwalkers and I had a blast. I painted the Death Guards and those were also a blast, and yet you could paint them however you want, like I previously stated. Yep. One sec, just on time. We're going over 20 minutes now, so let's try to continue with some more pros and cons on this. So, but you could paint them however you want. If you don't like the Space Marines the way they are, you could paint them in a different color. If you don't like your Chaos Marines the way they are, you could paint them pink. If you want them pink, you could paint them pink. Although that is one con to both sides, again, is the expenses of paint, because I was thinking to myself, oh, okay, maybe I could just like use different types of paints that I can get at the store, right? Because some paints could cost literally like over $10 for some reason, just for like a bucket or like a little squirt of it, and it's ridiculous. That's like another thing that I don't understand, because why charge something so expensive that I could just get at the hobby store for like half of the price, or like the art store for half of the price? I just don't know anymore, folks. I don't know. But one thing is, another pro about the game is its miniatures are bad ass. Once you take a look at them and start painting them, and once you get the finished product, you're like, damn, that was worth it. And not only that, I feel as if it can be a bit teasing all the time. But I highly recommend trying to find some players or some people to try the game out with at first and see what you think of it. So let me stop here and then we'll start talking about Hordes next. And we are back. Now let's get on to Privateer Press. So Privateer Press is another miniature company that started its first game, I think, War Machines, somewhere in 2013, and then Hordes a few years later. So Hordes is the game that I recently got, and I'm still building the miniatures. And one con I want to say about Privateer Press's miniatures is building confusion. What I mean by this is sometimes a miniature would be either having some push fit ideas or it will have like glue ideas. And I'm thinking to myself, Privateer Press, I'm not trying to attack you, but if you want to make your miniatures push fits, make them push fits. But if you want to make them like surfaced with glue, that's fine. Like you could do that too, but you can't make them the same thing. Because recently when I was trying to build the Troll Bloods army, I was seeing the push fit idea, and I'm like thinking to myself, like, oh, okay, if I just push them down, then that'll be it. Nope, it's loose, and it's not even a good thing. Some of the push fit ideas could be loose, some of them could be not that tight enough, or some of them could be too tight to a point where I can't even put the parts in together. And coming from a guy who said that he likes doing push fits more than than gluing. That's honestly not the best thing to say. Where, even though, like, one of the other miniatures for Troll Bloods, the faction otherwise, is that it has, like, this weird G-shaped combo to it. Where the character, in particular, is, like, has a belly to him, right? And I can't seem to, like, get him because, like, one part is, like, a G and the other part is also, like, the curve in word to the G. And it's, like, it's annoying to deal with, too. However, one pro that it does have, that War Machines and Hordes have, is simple and cheap starter boxes. And let's put a... Remember the book idea I said? I'm going to bring that back with another thing. Because what War Machines and Hordes do better than Games Workshop is this. Besides just giving you what you may need, like the Warlock, the Warcaster, and the War Beast and War Machines, they give you the rule book. And they give you the book to your faction. That is amazing. Now, granted, if you're like me, who's a dunce for being interested in another faction, like the Legion of Everblight, you're going to get another book in this. You're going to get a book in the starter sets. You're going to get a book in the two battle player sets. And that is awesome, because if Games Workshop did this, this would save so much money for other people. And like, the books for the characters are roughly 20 pages long for each one, for both Scorn and Trollbloods. And for the rule book I have right now in my hands, the Hordes one, it does not just have the rules for just Hordes, but it also has the rules for War Machine. So in case if your friend has like War Machine and you're forgetting the rules, you could be like, oh, here, chap. You can let him borrow your rule book. And that is awesome, which beats the purpose of spending over $400 or $40 and $30 on a damn rule book. If they would have done this, they would help so many people out. But they're their own company, and I don't tell them what to do. Now, the next pro is smaller army choices. Now, unlike War Machine and unlike Warhammer and Age of Sigmar, War Machines and Hordes does have its own limited small army choices. Now, even though that they are technically the same game, they have their own characters, they have their own lore, and they could basically choose certain types of characters throughout the world. Like, for example, I just talked about one called Trollbloods and Scorn. Like, that's for Hordes, right? There's also the Legion of Everblight, and you have other choices for War Machine. Whereas there's this one faction that's reminds me of Warhammer that's basically like, we're going to tell you about how our religion and our church is better than yours by being a military army. And that's basically the parody version of the faction for Warhammer. And that's awesome. And it's a little bit more comforting to choose armies from either War Machine or Hordes, because you do have limited options. But like I just previously said, if you don't like some of these options, you don't have to choose them. But yet, the characters and the hundreds and hundreds of different army choices or the faction choices for Warhammer is like basically comparing a watermelon to a peach. But let's get into one of its other biggest pros that Warhammer has, is cross compatibility. Now, what I mean by this is, like I said, War Machines and Hordes are basically the same game. And the best part about it is, if you have War Machine and if your friend has Hordes, it doesn't matter, because if they have the same rules, you could pit one army against the other. That is awesome. That is cool. And not only that, it is also really fun. And not only that, it is something that Warhammer doesn't do. The only army I think it can do with is demons, but that's another topic for another podcast episode. But not only that, let's get into some of the other cons, because I have been holding War Machine and Hordes up, but it's time to bring it down for a couple of notches, which is the models. Now, this is a little bit nitpicky, but some of the miniatures can be annoying how I felt to be put together, because for some reason I feel as if some miniatures in the sets, this one being the Trollbloods and versus Scorn sets, the two-player battle box set, some of the pieces should have already been put together before initially releasing it to the public. What I mean by this is like the two tusks on the War Beast Gladiator, or like these two little shoulder pads on the Cyclops Raider and the Cyclops Commander, or whatever his name was. And it's also like the other bits that should have been like better choices for push fit, because like I said, there's like this Trollblood character that has like this G-shaped end with it goes inwards on both sides, and it's like kind of difficult because he's like a round character and you're like would be struggling trying to put the two G shapes into one another. And that's like something I find kind of stupid, but yet also very annoying for War Machine in Hordes. So some of its miniatures are like that. And not only that, like one thing I do want to say is another con for Warhammer and no, not Warhammer, War Machine. War Machine and Hordes is its box collection. Now, hear me out. Even though it does sound stupid, this is a kind of another nitpick. I'm sorry. I'm terrible. But so the starter sets normally come with this. It comes with a Warlock or a Warcaster and roughly 4 to 3 of War Machines or War Beasts, right? Sometimes big ones, sometimes small ones, sometimes the ones in between. However, if we compare it to like Warhammer's sets, it's completely different. Because here's the thing. Like, let's say, for example, Astro Militarum, like the Guardsmen. So the Guardsmen start collecting set. It comes with 1 Karmasar, 1 turret, 1 Lehman Russ tank, and a handful of Guardsmen. Now, Guardsmen is a big army, but it may not be enough, but at least it's something to already start off with. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm halfway done, kind of. And another example could be like the Thousand Sons. Oh, I love the Thousand Sons. I wish I got them first. But Thousand Sons is another good example. Like, you get like the Wizards, you get a crap ton of Guardsmen, not Guardsmen, Rubric Marines, that's what they're called. You get a crap ton of Rubric Marines, and you also get a crap ton of demons. And that is a good choice, because even though if you do or do not want to run demons in your Thousand Sons, they could still run it for Kill Team. And it's like Kill Team in one box. And that has what you would need altogether. Now, for Hordes and War Machine, though, I kind of find it confounding that they would like sell separate characters in other separate boxes. And it makes it, I want to say, tedious sometimes, because when you're looking for the certain character, like looking at a or building an army, you would need to look for this box and you need to look for that box. And it could be the same expense or probably even more expensive as the starter sets that you already collected. And why I found it even more confounding is that when you're like buying certain units, like army units, you would need a chieftain. And that chieftain would be in its own box, not in the original, but it would be in its own box. And you would need to buy that to complete the army. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, wouldn't it help if I just, wouldn't it make it more sense if the army, like the military army characters, including the chieftain, are already in one set? Well, so technically, there is. However, that said set would cost you over $100, which kind of defeats the purpose of budget. Although you can technically play like your own kind of Kill Team with it on War Machines and Hordes by just having the War Machines and the Warcaster, bada bang, bada boom, you're done. But it's probably best, in my opinion, just to have like the characters and some other solo characters, just because it gives it a little bit more oomph, I want to say. It makes it a little bit more interesting. But yet it still does that for some reason. But let's get into one more thing I want to talk about. This is kind of a little bit of another nitpick, which is its other con, but yet it's pro. Weird, but yet I want to say confusing ruling a bit. But fun and confusing ruling a bit. Like, for Warhammer, all you need is like your army, the books, a ruler, dice, because dice always, and that's it. But the best part about War Machine and Hordes is, this is the pro part, by the way, that it does this thing like to call shortcut cards, which it gives you certain cards, roughly 4, 1 for spells, 1 for your Warcaster, 2 or 3 for your War Beast, 1 for your units, and they have its stats, it has its abilities all on the back, and it also has other abilities and features on the back or the front as well. And that's like awesome, because it kind of it defeats the purpose of having the books, because all you need is the cards. Like, if you're like, oh, I'm wondering which my character is strength at, so you will go back to the card. So if I look at Beastmaster Xscar, which is that name, I would see that he has a strength of 6. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, oh, okay. So I need to roll a 6 or higher to beat that guy's armor class. And once I do, I could beat his armor class and use the attack. And that is awesome. And it's, like, the best thing because it has its stats. It has each of the character's abilities. And if you're stuck, you could always look back on the card and you're like, oh, okay, so this is that character's stat and it's that character's ability. That's great. However, there are certain things I feel are kind of confusing and more, like, scary when you're a new player is sometimes the ruling, and it does have, like, a bit of rulings out there. Like, for War Machines, or in this case, War Beast, it has, like, a little spiral thing, right? And each spiral goes into a different corresponding color and number. So, like, there's the mind, the body, and the spirit. However, what you would need to do is you need to, when you attack and do damage, you need to roll a dice and it would show that corresponding spiral number to take, put the damage in. And not only that, there's also things like fury, there's like status abilities, there's like the threshold, which basically means if your war beast goes wild on you, and so on and so forth. It can get really confusing, I'm not gonna lie. And that's honestly saying something, because I definitely played Yu-Gi-Oh! Back in my day, and Yu-Gi-Oh! Is basically one step closer for being a lawyer for you. But War Machine and Hordes does have a little bit more confusing ruling when it comes to certain aspects with the games, like I just said, with Fury, with points, and this, and that, and that, and this. However, the simplest thing to say of how to win the game is to kill the Warcaster or the Warlock. Simplest as that. And yet, yet there's also, like, objectives, and the same thing goes for, like, Warhammer. Like, your entire army could be dying on you, and all you need to do is complete the objective, or in Warhammer and War Machine's case, kill the Warlock or Warcaster, and you win. And yet, it does have that type of idea of where it's trying to go, and it has its own unique premise, and it does have its own unique miniatures. Which brings me back to the miniatures. Pro. Sexy-ass miniatures. Like the Gladiator Beast. Sexy. The Trollbloods miniatures. Sexy. The Legion of Everblight's miniatures. Sexy as hell. There's also this other war beast that's genius. Because I can't remember what it's called. It's like a heavy war beast for the Legion of Everblight. And it's the badass most thing I ever see. So it's like a dragon creature, right? But it's not just one monster. It has like multiple parts to it. So basically, if you don't like the one that you see on the box, you could have like another version. You could have a version that looks like it's shooting out fire. That is awesome because basically, you can have multiple versions of different choices. It also gives you, like, the cards for those specific choices. It also gives you the fury points. But yet, if you're like, oh, I still have these leftover bits, what you could be able to do is you could basically take those bits and make them into, like, your own Dungeons & Dragons amalgamation. And arguably, that's probably one of its biggest pros to it. Like, this is the most customizable miniature to date. And yet, I feel as if this is probably its biggest pro. And not only that, there are other choices when it comes to miniatures. Like, I've seen Gamer War Girl, I think her name was, and she was having a battle report with, like, Trollbloods and the Circle or Minions. And, like, there's, like, this monolith miniature that's basically, like, a sacrificial monument or monolith. And that looks so cool. There was also, like, the Infernals, and that their miniatures are badass. And there's the Cephalics. I first thought of the collecting the Cephalics first before the Legions of Everblight caught my heart. And those miniatures, badass. And yet, I feel as if a lot of these miniatures could look cool in, like, their original color scheme. Or, like I said, you could color them however you want. Like, no one is stopping you. No one's saying that you have to do this or that. But, there's always buts. One downside is the lack of instructions. Okay, so, again, nitpicking. I'm sorry, I'm a terrible person. But, sometimes there are and there aren't instructions to the War Machines and Hordes starter sets. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. Like, recently with, like, the miniatures that I was trying to build, I was, like, freaking lost of what I'm trying to look for and what I'm trying to build. And it's, like, it can be frustrating. Like, you'll be looking for, you're, like, be scrounging around the box and scrounging around the bags trying to look for each of these pieces. And they, like, could be in your face or somewhere else. And it, I feel as if there should have been, like, something like A, B, C, and D. And yet, like, one thing I do like about it is it does keep, like, certain miniatures together. So you're like, oh, okay, so this miniature I want to build is in this bag. And this miniature I want to build is in this bag. But when you're, like, clump them together and don't have, like, certain amount of instructions, it's, like, really confusing trying to look for what you're trying to look for. Now, let's get into my final thoughts about War Machines and Hordes and Warhammer 40K. So overall, this episode of the podcast was pretty much not more of a, yeah, you guys should probably jump in right away. This was pretty much like a more informative video because both of them have their own pros and their own cons. Don't just listen to me, but listen to other people who've recently played these types of games. I recently started just because of the pandemic. But not only that, if you're interested in these games, then by all means, you could try them out. If you don't like them, that's fine. No one says you do have to like them, or no one says you have to play them. If you want to paint them just to paint them, that's fine. You could also paint them just to paint them. But yet, you also should look more at, like, other sites or, like, deals to get certain miniatures or, like, certain characters that you may want or need. Because it's still pretty expensive either way. Either you could look on eBay, but others are still expensive. Amazon, also expensive. It could be rare to find people on either Instagram or Facebook who are willing to sell certain miniatures for a reasonable price. And not only that, the games do have their own unique, I want to say, je ne sais quoi of how they are played. Because for Warhammer, there's like certain phases. Same goes for like War Machine and Hordes, with like the Furies and like the abilities and so on and so forth. Now, overall, I think these games should be noticed by others. I think you guys should try out these games if you want to, but do your research. See if a friend is willing to play the game too. So both of you could like split the money so one could take one army and the other could take the other army. And basically, you know, have fun. Now, this is probably the most stupidest. I probably messed up on a couple of things. I am sorry for that. But before I end the podcast, follow me on Twitter on Ultra Nerd at Super Nerd. I think it's 163. I don't know why I done some stupid numbers there. And not only that, we'll probably post the card episode I've been talking about next week. So stay tuned for that. And be sure to tell your friends about the podcast if they are interested. And every time we listen to each episode of the podcast, we are slowly building up revenue. The camera stand is just the beginning. If we try to help, if you guys help me by help me slowly building up that said revenue, we could probably make this into a far better podcast than it already is. You can help me keep the lights on. You can help me flush that toilet over there. And probably in the end of it, I could help you try to paint some miniatures that you may be interested in. And remember, have fun and stay. And remember, folks, geek is fleek.